This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. In addition to checking us out on the radio, you can listen to the voice of DC cab drivers on your phone at 712-432-6620 or online at WUST1120.com. Again, you can listen on your phone at 712-432-6620 or online at WUST1120.com. So spread the word, let folks know there are other ways they can tune in. The text for the first part of the show, as well as the entire audio, will be posted at thefightback.org tomorrow. So if you miss any information, you can visit thefightback.org, where you can find past shows as well. The Voice of DC Cab Drivers is brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can visit any of the driver-owned companies that make up the association, such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand. If you drive for companies that are not in the association, you can still become a member. Tonight, we host a debate on the future of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Calls to eliminate the body are growing. Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells is chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, and he has oversight of the Taxi Cab Commission. Wells said, "I don't know if the commission ever worked. Do we need one?" In tonight's debate, we'll hear from leading voices on both sides of the issue. Joining us will be Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis, Greater Washington founder and editor-in-chief David Alpert. Also joining the debate will be Ali and Hymenat Bizuayu, as well as Nathan Price, all members of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association is calling for the commission to follow the law, but not be eliminated, as Bizuayu explained earlier today.
Well, one thing is true, that there is a problem at the Taxi Cab Commission these days, and those problems needs to be fixed. But fixing the problem is not just by eliminating or abolishing the Taxi Cab Commission. Because I don't see there is a problem with the institution or the structure of the institution itself. The problem is the people who are there as the commissioners, not knowing the industry very well, and also maybe the chairman not being a good regulator or administrator. So, I mean, that as far as the drivers concerned, I mean, that institution is the only avenue that they have to voice their concern about their industry, and also to that's the only place that they can be heard. So, eliminating altogether the Taxi Cab Commission is just taking that voice away from the drivers.
That was Hymenat Bizuayu, board member of the Small Business Association. Later in the program, we'll be hosting a debate on the future of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. The next meeting of the commission was scheduled for this Wednesday, but according to the DC Taxi Cab Commission website, the meeting has been canceled. Again, this Wednesday's meeting of the DC Taxi Cab Commission has been canceled. No date has been given as to when it will be rescheduled. In Prince George's County, the council voted 5-3 on Tuesday to undo legislation unanimously passed just a year ago, which provided medallions directly to independent drivers instead of to the few big players that dominate the county's taxi industry. Tuesday's vote, in addition to stopping independent drivers from receiving medallions, allows the medallions that have already been given to independent drivers to potentially be sold to the very cab companies that dominate the industry. These companies will now be allowed to control as much as 75% of the market. Tom Dernoga, the former council chair, oversaw last year's vote. Last month, I caught up with Dernoga at the county council and asked him his thoughts on the effort to undo the legislation which was passed unanimously just a year ago.
I think it's an unfortunate rollback that seems to be focused by special interest. You had two or three people control the cab industry in the county, and our goal was to break the stranglehold by a handful of individuals who basically didn't want to see free enterprise and basically had no problem keeping people in poverty, you know, the drivers. And anybody who spoke out got punished, lost the ability to drive in the county. They basically were frozen because there's nobody else to go to. So we tried to break that stranglehold by putting out the additional medallions and creating some rules that prevented the monopolies from buying up the certificates we created. And the bill that's proposed essentially supports recreating monopolies and putting workers and drivers in a position of long-term poverty and retribution against anyone who speaks out against it.
The CB 36, the bill that you helped push through, that was 390 medallions to drivers, that was passed unanimously by this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm not sure what else to say. Yeah, it was passed unanimously. And I think a lot of the council members have been dealing with it over a period of 3 to 5 years and come to realize that there was a lot of harassment and intimidation of drivers, unconscionable business practices, and plenty of rumors of corruption that you just couldn't ignore. Particularly, a lot of suggestion that the Department of Environmental Resources look the other way at problems and complaints. And it was rather disturbing the way things were set up.
That was former Prince George's County Council Chair Tom Dernoga. Last week here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, we had an extended in-studio conversation with Getachew Mengesha, a lead organizer with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. Mengesha discussed some of the problems with CB3, the anti-driver legislation that was passed on Tuesday.
When it comes to CB3, really it is taking us back to company slavery, where we used to pay $330 a week, $17,000 in a year, which is more than 50% of our earning. In the bill, the main part is to stop giving any medallion to the driver, and the second part is to give the line share to the companies. That will lead companies to play a monopoly role instead of competition.
You can listen to the full interview with Getachew Mengesha from last week at thefightback.org. Another of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance is Henok Wilders. Earlier today, we discussed Tuesday's vote, and he laid out the next step that drivers in Prince George's County will be taking.
The vote means, that the Prince George's County taxi drivers will be enslaved to the companies. What it does is it will create a big monopoly than that is existing right now, where three individuals own close to 80% of the medallions, and they're charging $17,000 to the drivers, where this medallion only cost them $100 before, but now I think it's $200 that's from the companies. And this bill was a repealing of the progress that was made by passing of the CB36, which was the legislation passed last year. So this is reversing it and bringing back the monopoly, even in a stronger, bigger way.
In last Sunday's Washington Post, District 1 council member Mary Lehman wrote, quote, "In Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings."
Yeah, which is, the reality. It's a modern-day slavery, what is going on in Prince George's County. Most of these drivers have to risk their life, it's a dangerous job to work. And they put longer hours, 13, 14, most of these people have a family that they need to take care of. And the worst part is they are taking this money, plus, so much abuses that the companies to the drivers. You know, it's not only the $17,000. There's also additional charges that can just come up with any time they want. Since they control this medallion, you have no voice that you can refuse to pay it or you don't pay. I mean, you don't drive tax in St. George's County. So this is like, you know, a modern slavery. And, you know, what as part of we are living in 21st century, but the reality in Prince George's County drivers is, you know, 16th, 17th, 18th century slavery.
Hanok, are you surprised that this vote took place a year after the same body, the Prince George's County Council, unanimously passed CB 36? That's the legislation you mentioned earlier, which...
I'm very surprised and I'm very disappointed. But also, that tells you the reality of Prince George's County politics, where powerful lobbyists control the whole political system. And this bill is not only repealing, but also it never get a chance to bring it to a public debate. See, when last bill was passed last year, CB 36, there was a task force, and it was a back-to-back negotiation between the council members, the drivers, the companies, and the task force looked at the industry consisting of taxi commission, from the public, from the county executive office. They looked at it for over a month. It just did not pass without any consideration. But now what's happened is somebody, a council member who got ties to the cab companies, who've been getting thousands and thousands of dollars in the past 4 years. One can look at the campaign donation database, and they can see, like, you know, all those cab companies were giving money to Will Campos. And he's passing this bill based on his own assessment. He used the same study that the cab companies presented in the last county council debate. But now no council member is asking questions besides council member Eric Olson, who was sponsor of the bill last year, and council member Mary Limit. The rest of them did not want to meet with us while they were meeting with the lobbyists, the company lawyers, back-to-back, going back to December 2010, excuse me. So there was back-to-back communication with those companies, but they never want to give up an opportunity to meet with them.
Hanok, what are your plans going forward? The Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance has done some amazing organizing. It was not a coincidence that a year ago, CB 36 was unanimously passed, providing medallions not to the few companies that dominate the industry, but instead to independent drivers. And that was a result of the incredible organizing that was done by the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. This is a reversal. It's not only, I think, what, 254 of those 390 medallions were given out, so the remainder will not be given out after the passage of CB3 on Tuesday. Furthermore, as Councilmember Lehman points out, this allows for the medallions that were given out to be consolidated in the hands of a few companies. They can own up to 75% now of the medallions. My question is, what are your plans going forward after the amazing organizing that you did to pass CB36? This is a stunning reversal. Are you giving up? What's happening next?
Actually, we are, you know, more determined to push for our freedom than ever. You know, now we've seen the light that, you know, we can accomplish something by taking this to the public and debate, and also pushing the county council to come to their sense, just like we did bypassing, you know, helping us get past CB 36. So now we are determined than ever. At least we have 254 drivers who can, you know, stand behind us. Before, we were all used to work for the cab companies, and there was all kind of condition where they were just firing us, getting rid of us, overcharging us for our mind or fighting for our right. So I think we're more determined than ever, and we're going to push in every avenue that, you know, we have in our arsenal, whether it's through litigation or whether pushing county council, but also exposing the corruption system that is going on between some of the council members who are aligned with the cup companies, but also exposing based on our two reports where despite injustice, moving millions, that was exposing how the Department of Environmental Control Resources was controlled by those cup companies. What's amazing is, like, you know, some of the cup company managers are also working for that department, you know, on the weekends and at night time. I mean, there's so many corruption. So we are determined than ever to push this, to expose what's going on in the industry, whether we have to take it to the state level or expose this to different officials, and push the county council to come to their fence again. So, you know, this is just getting started for us.
Any final thoughts you care to share, Henok?
I mean, I know this tax issue is a national issue. I think I hope to see some kind of coordination in a regional level between those taxi drivers who are going through the same issue in D.C., Arlington, Alexandria, or Montgomery County. I think if we get together, I think we can become a big force where we can challenge this corruption that is going on in the taxi industry everywhere around the region.
That was Henok Wogduris, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. June 22nd, Reason TV producer Jim Epstein was arrested at a public meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. This week, Epstein, along with Reason TV editor-in-chief Nick Gillespie, produced a piece on the proposed D.C. medallion bill entitled D.C. Taxi Heist. Here's an audio clip of the piece.
Kill the medallion bill!
It's about being free in this United States of America.
We know tyranny when we smell it, and we are not going to take this stinking smell again.
Washington, D.C. taxi driver Nathan Price keeps his cab in the basement of his Virginia apartment building. After driving into the district and picking up a few fares, he generally stops by a local hangout to meet up with other drivers. Price, who's now 68, is like almost all DC cab drivers, an owner-operator who works when he wants to.
What's it mean for you to own your own cab or to be able to set your own hours as a cab driver?
Total freedom. And it's nothing like it.
I can go to work anytime I feel like it. I can quit anytime I feel like it. So I get a schedule as to what suits me.
DC's cab industry is among the freest in the nation, allowing flexibility for drivers and relatively open access to thousands of immigrants who earn their livelihood driving a cab in the district.
This industry was a stepping stone for free slaves before the Civil War. It was a stepping stone for immigrants from Europe at the turn of the 20th century.
It took my business away from me. You just took the free enterprise out of my life. That's what we're facing right now.
Now Washington, D.C. is considering a bill that would require every cab in the district to have a permit known as a medallion. The city would only issue 4,000 medallions, cutting the total number of cabs by more than a third and putting thousands of drivers out of work.
Kill the medallion bill!
Kill the medallion bill now!
A minority of cabbies who have been driving for at least 5 years and live in Washington, D.C. would get the medallions first.
Even though I was born and raised in the district, started driving, but the past 15 years I've lived in Virginia, I get a pink slip.
Price would still have a shot at getting one of those 4,000 medallions since he's been driving for more than 20 years, but only after they're first offered to cab companies, who could then turn around and rent them to drivers.
They're being set up to say, you commit to renting, which means you commit to giving up a portion of your earnings, or you get out. We don't do that to anyone in any other profession.
It's a scenario that's been repeated across the country. Over and over, medallion systems have pushed out individual entrepreneurs and put them to work for politically connected companies.
In Prince George's County, the cab companies rent their cabs to cab drivers at $330 a week. in Montgomery County, upwards of $100 a day. They're working long hours to give more than half of their earnings to the medallion owner.
Proponents of the medallion bill say putting companies in charge would benefit riders. But a 2010 study by the city's Department of Finance argued the opposite. Cities with medallions have fares that are 25% higher.
When you're creating a system where the medallion owner can create artificial scarcity in service, riders are going to have less cabs available to them.
These big cab companies, they will take charge of everything.
The man behind the medallion proposal is Jerry Schaefer. He's a local taxicab magnate who runs a bunch of companies that are headquartered here in the River Terrace neighborhood in Northeast Washington, D.C. Up front, he'll get a whole bunch of the medallions when they're offered for sale at $10,000 a piece. And then he'll be able to turn those into real cash by either renting the cabs out to local drivers or selling the medallions at a profit.
Schaefer hired lobbyist John Ray to write the medallion bill. Ray has worked as a lawyer defending Representative Harry Thomas in an ongoing corruption suit, and it was Thomas who sponsored Ray's bill in the D.C. City Council.
That was a clip from DC Taxi Heist, which was produced by Jim Epstein of Reason TV, who was arrested at a public meeting of the DC Taxi Cab Commission on June 22nd. Thursday, Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B voted to adopt a resolution in opposition to the medallion bill. The resolution reads in part, "Whereas the present number of taxi cabs in the District of Columbia is over 9,000, the proposed medallion system would place an arbitrary cap on the number of taxi cabs at 4,000. This restricts the supply and creates barriers to competition. Whereas, the District of Columbia's Chief Financial Officer's Office studied in 2010 how the taxicab medallion system worked in other major cities, and the study concluded that the system would result in windfall profits for a small group of people, an overall decline in service with longer waits and higher fares, and create a system more amenable to corruption. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B request that the mayor of the District of Columbia and the Council for the District of Columbia reject the taxicab medallion system and adopt the findings of the District of Columbia Chief Financial Officer." This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by the Small Business Association, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can find out more information at any of the driver-owned companies that make up the association, such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand. Amrius Wilsenu, a board member of the Small Business Association, organizes the popular Saturday night Amharic phone conference. For those who speak Amharic, every Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m., you can learn about the latest issues facing DC taxicab drivers. The number for the toll-free conference is 712-432-3100. That's 712-432-3100. And the code is 140-465, 140-465. All this information will be posted at thefightback.org starting tomorrow. So if you've missed anything, you can visit The Fight Back. Also, let your friends know that they can listen to past shows of the voice of DC cab drivers at thefightback.org, which is a great way for drivers to educate themselves about some of the goings-ons in the industry. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back. When we come back, a debate on the future of the DC Taxicab Commission.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, but violent prone, poor people's own. It's my home, all I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam, out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survival, learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat,
so we struggle in,
fighting to eat,
and we wonder
when we'll be free, so we patiently wait.
for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
So many wars, settling scores, bringing us promises, leaving us poor. I heard them say, love is the way, love is the answer. That's what they say, but look how they treat us. Make us believers, we fight their battles, then they deceive us. Try to control us, they couldn't hold us, cause we just move forward like buffalo soldiers.
But we struggling,
fighting to eat,
and we wondering
when we'll be free.
So we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back.
That was Waving Flag by Kanon. You're listening to the voice of DC cab drivers here on 1120 AM WUST Washington. The show is brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Appearing recently on News Channel 8's News Talk, Mayor Vincent Gray discussed the possibility of eliminating the Taxi Cab Commission with host Bruce DePoit.
The commission has been described as dysfunctional, and in the wake of the arrests, some are saying, why do we have this particular body? Maybe we can take its functions and regroup them somewhere else.
Well, that certainly is a consideration. I've looked at that also, and we're continuing to look at that. We looked at, I think, San Francisco, for example, has the taxicab regulatory function within its Department of Transportation there. So we're looking at options. What we want at the end of the day is the best possible way of regulating an industry that needs to be regulated. We have an acting director there. We're looking for a permanent director. We're engaged in interviews now with people who are being considered to do that, because whether there's a commission or not, there has to be somebody who is leading the effort.
That was Mayor Gray appearing on News Talk with Bruce DePoit. Last week on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, veteran driver and native Washingtonian Carolyn Robinson said the Taxi Cab Commission isn't following rules and regulations, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be in existence. What it means is they need the proper people.
The reason there should be a Taxi Cab Commission, or one should stay in existence, is because basically it's the only vehicle that public service vehicle operators have to even address any concerns regarding the industry. Prior to 1985, when the Taxi Cab Establishment Act was initiated, it was for a group or a dichotomy of people so we can express our concerns what's going on with the industry. If this vehicle is abolished, then we won't be able to have any stand in the arena. We won't be able to address city council. We won't be able to address Congress. You won't be able to even address the riding public because there will be no vehicle. Years ago, when Dan Tangalini was the director of the Department of Transportation, they attempted to close the Taxi Cab Commission and have a taxi cab czar. And thank goodness, a lot of us, of course, including me, went down to city council and testified and opposed to this new created entity that they wanted to do. And we're still in existence. There are a lot of things that may be, first of all, the Taxi Cab Commission isn't following rules and regulations. But that does not mean that it shouldn't be in existence. What it means is they need the proper people. You need a regulator or someone who has an idea of the industry to take care of the need.
That was Carolyn Robinson, a driver with Yellow Cab and a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells chairs the Committee on Public Works and Transportation and has oversight of the Taxi Cab Commission. Last month, on the Politics Hour on WAMU, guest political analyst Tom Sherwood of NBC4 discussed Wells' interest in abolishing the commission.
Whether it's, you know, African-Americans who are passed by for the white person standing on the next corner, the person who wants to go to Bethesda and is told to get out of the cab, I'm not going to Bethesda. I mean, the cab enforcement issues are just not there. And I think that's why Tommy Wells has said over the summer, he's going to seriously look at how maybe we should abolish the cab commission and put it into a regulatory structure much more like DCRA, and maybe there's going to be more accountable.
That was Tom Sherwood on the Politics Hour on WAMU. We now turn to a debate on the future of the Taxi Cab Commission. Joining us in studio is Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis. In a recent piece, DeBonis described the Taxi Cab Commission as an odd beast in city government, since it's both a deliberative policy-making body and a regulator. Also joining us is David Alpert, founder and editor-in-chief of the popular blog Greater Greater Washington. In a recent piece entitled Fix the Taxi Commission or Abolish It, Alpert writes, "Perhaps instead of a taxi commission, the agency should report to the mayor like most other agencies." And joining us in studio are Ali and Haimanat Bizuayu, both members of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which has called for the Taxi Cab Commission to follow the law and to remain in existence. And joining us on the line is Nathan Price, chair of the DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association and board member of the Small Business Association. Welcome to everybody. I want to begin, Mike DeBonis, with you. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a privilege to have you. As a local journalist for some years now, you've covered a lot of issues, including the taxi cab issues, and you have some interesting thoughts about the Taxi Cab Commission, so I'd love you to lay them out.
I've been covering city government for better part of 10 years now, and the Taxi Cab Commission is, well, I don't think that, you know, it's ever functioned the way it was intended to function, and it's been so dependent on who has been appointed to it, whether the mayor has been.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah, we just got to turn that down a little.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll just take these off. But okay. We've had instances where, you know, it just hasn't been functioning because either the mayor hasn't been diligent about appointing people, it's been non-functioning because, for one policy reason or another. And I think that from a policy standpoint, it's been a failure. I don't know that it's that we really can say that we've ever come up with a taxi policy in this town. What we've had is, you know, the biggest sea change that we've seen in the last, you know, 20 years since the Taxi Cab Commission was created in the early 80s was, the transition from zones to meters. And that didn't happen because the Taxi Commission made it happen. It was because the mayor wanted it to happen and basically treated the Taxi Cab Commission as a sort of a nuisance and went ahead with this plan. Now, my point of view on this is that that's what we elect mayors to do. If a mayor wants to change the law, he's within his rights. You run on that, and you're responsive to your citizens and your constituents. to when the taxicab commission is treated as this sort of like nuisance to be thrown aside, I think that there's a problem with it. And we don't, you know, and it's not being responsive to the people it should be responsive to, which is the taxicab users and the people in the city who vote.
As well as drivers?
Drivers are part of that. Drivers should vote. And to the point that, to the extent that they have political power and can influence the mayor or, the council members or, they should be powerful and they should have a voice. I just don't know that the commission, as it's currently constructed, is really the best way to do that.
The perspective that I come at is from talking with drivers, and when I watch drivers get out of their cabs, physically, you could see drivers who have sat for too long, backs hurt. They're making $1.50 per mile, some of the lowest fares in the country. And then an example of how far outside the political process is the lack of a single industry representative on the commission. And so, from that vantage point, it seems like an enormous step would be to include drivers in the political process, including on the commission. What's your take on that?
Well, my take is taxicab service is a public service industry. This is a... something that provides a public service to the citizens, the District of Columbia, and people who aren't citizens of the District of Columbia. And as such, it gets regulated as a public service. And if you look at various regulated industries, whether it's utilities, you look at alcoholic beverages, you look at any number of these things, typically the industry doesn't get a guaranteed seat at the table on a regulatory body. And there's a good reason for that. There's a reason we don't have Pepco sitting on the Public Service Commission. There's a reason we don't have bar owners sitting on the Alcoholic Regulation Board. The regulation exists for the users, the public who is being serviced here, not for the industry. And that doesn't mean that the regulators can completely ignore them, and they shouldn't. And it's in the interest of public service and having a good public service for the industry to have a viable regulatory system. And I completely agree with you, Pete. The rates, the setting of taxi rates, has been, but I think it is not right. And there, but the reason of that isn't that there isn't drivers on the taxicab commission. It's that the taxicab commission hasn't even done a rate setting. I mean, the taxicab commission isn't doing the job it's supposed to do. If you look at the Public Service Commission, they do rate settings for Pepco every year, every 2 years. That happens all the time. They're constantly refining how much, an electrical user should be paying for his electrical service. That hasn't happened. And that isn't because there isn't drivers on the Taxicab Commission. It's because the Taxicab Commission just isn't a working regulatory body.
One more follow-up, Mike DeBonis, before we bring in some of the other folks here. Again, I come at it from having talked with drivers, and it was really interesting reading your article about, it's public service and should be regulated as such. To me, it seems like there may be some differences between Pepco and taxicab drivers.
To be sure. Obviously, and it's a completely, you have a monopoly industry with utilities. With the taxicab industry, especially in this town, is almost exactly the opposite. You have such a diverse array of owner operators, hundreds and thousands. But I think when you look at how the government should be interacting with a public service industry, I think that the parallels do apply. Now, how you treat a monopoly industry versus something that's far from it, that's an interesting question. I'd love to hear what other people have to say about that.
Nathan Price, I wanted to get your response to some of what Mike DeBonis has laid out.
Well, first, thanks for having me on. I've read Mr. DeBonis' columns in the Post, and also I've blogged once on Greater Washington on their issue dealing with gentrification. what amazes me is that I look at Mr. Bonnie Singh as being a pastor, a learned man. But, you know, when you make certain statements and you don't look at why the failure of the Taxi Cab Commission when it was started in 1985, and you haven't really looked at what is the essential framework when former councilperson Betty Ann King put the DCTC together, it was for a Democratic platform so the drivers and the riding public could shape the industry to be that world-class citizen that these plastic politicians constantly bring forth to talk about. And when you're talking about, you said they should have a voice, but where's the voice? Even though there aren't any members in the past, there has been members. These members from the industry have always been political appointees who do not represent the drivers. You know, what I'm basically hearing, and when I read the blogs and I read the articles, I'm listening to people who, on one hand, wave the American flag and talk about democracy. Well, when I look at democracy, democracy is a public, I'm sorry, it's an active participation of people as citizens in a political and civil life. It's the protection of human rights of all citizens. And we choose our leaders and we hold our leaders for their policies accountable and their conduct. The DCPDA and Dominion of Cabs are basically our civil society organizations, which are fundamental in a democracy to educate and advocate for the rights of the drivers. And the thing that kind of like blows my mind is that for more than 20 years, I've been advocating just for democracy, basic democracy. And if you look at the basic framework, at when Betty Ann King first put the Taxi Cab Act 1985 together, don't look how it was mocked up by Myron Berry and some of his council cronies who actually weakened it to the point that it became non-functional. Understand why it was non-functional before you say it should be like the Public Service Commission. Because Mr. Bonus is correct. The Public Service Commission was a truly, it was an organization that did things professionally. They had all the staff, they had everybody in place. But when politics came into place in the DCTC, all of a sudden, things fell apart because we had political cronies in place. We didn't have people who were professional. I've always been advocating on bringing back a Taxi Cab Commission, which follows the same principles of the Public Service Commission. Not that was laid out in the law that was watered down after Betty Ann King's effort to make this a platform for all the citizens to come together. Because, you know, when you say there's nobody on the ABC Liquor Board from that industry or other industries, that's not entirely true. There's people on that board that help. Because, you know, you go back and you look how did Henry Ford formulate the Ford Motor Company? He went down and asked every worker on the floor his opinion, from the lowest worker to the engineer. He went out to the riding public. So the drivers in the taxi cab industry, that's where the rubber meets the road, and also the riding public. So these are the only two groups that should be essential. When you say the power rests in the mayor has acted like a puppeteer, a very ignorant, selfish puppeteer, all of them. There's never been one mayor, even Walter Washington, the first mayor, that has gone out and done what is necessary to make Washington a first class in anything. We've become the laughing stock of the taxi industry in the United States. Now, to make a point, I don't know what these gentlemen's backgrounds are, but one thing I know, when I look at Washington, I am proud of what we have in Washington. We have the last bastion of free entrepreneurship, where drivers own their cars. You don't see this in no other place. When I go out to, when I just came back from Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, what did I see? There's more cabs in Vegas now per capita, almost just like Washington. But I see drivers who work like sharecroppers for these owners. What did I see in New York? The same thing. Every place. Washington is a place where you have this freedom that the American principles are laid out of, out on. This thing of entrepreneurship. So the only thing, I mean, I like the articles in the Post. I just disagree in principle in something you come from. But I'm glad you're giving us attention.
That's
the Greater Washington, I think it's a wonderful blog. But I really wish you would look at why did this thing really fail, and what is the difference? Don't compare Washington to San Francisco or other places that do not believe in democracy. Because basically, in no other city, the drivers own most of the vehicles, but yet have no voice. When you talk about Metro, you talk about Pepco. Let's talk about Metro first. Metro is something that the city gives subsidies to give public service. And when Metro says we need a fare increase, they may not get all they want. It's the same thing with Pepco. But Pepco is a monopoly. The city doesn't subsidize that one taxicab. You know, you go in Germany, in Europe, the federal government subsidizes part of the tax cabs. So they have nice Mercedes and a few Volkswagens and a few other cars to drive around in. But they want to dispose of those cars, they have the drivers dispose of those vehicles. Nobody does anything for the District of Columbia drivers. But we have a government that tramples every human right, especially in the Constitution rights. Where else in America that a driver of any vehicle can be stopped for any reason and no reason and deal with a search and have his car impounded? Only in the District of Columbia, the capital of democracy in the free world.
Nathan Price, I want to first of all, thank you for laying that out. I want to let Mike DeBonis, if he wants to jump in and respond, and then go to David Alpert of Greater Washington.
I think Nathan's absolutely right that the district's system of owner-operated taxi cabs has been a good thing. It's been successful, and there's a reason that users of taxi cabs in the districts, they have the most taxi cabs per capita, and I think that's a great thing that we have. Anything to dilute that, it would be unfortunate in my view. Now, in terms of the origin of the taxicab commission, I wasn't around back in 1985 when the law was written. Nathan, I suspect was. I looked at the committee report for the bill that was passed, and what I saw in that is there really wasn't much discussion of creating this sort of democratic body to deal with taxicab regulations. What the issue that the taxicab commission was trying to solve was you had taxicab regulation spread out among, I think, six or seven different agencies, and they wanted to centralize that. And that most of the discussion in the committee report dealt with that. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that there's this body that was created to deal with this? I think in some ways, yeah, you do want to have a deliberative body to deal with taxi policy. And you need some sort of body to handle complaints and things like that. Now, the question is whether is the Taxicab Commission as constituted the best way to do that? But the other issue, and this is the big issue, is the actual regulating, the actual hack inspectors, the enforcement of the rules, I think, is best served if that's divorced from the policymaking body. You put that in a city agency that reports to the mayor, that's professional. That's the way it certainly works in alcoholic beverage control. And I think that, that would go a long way towards improving the industry. Now, you know, the issue with, you know, that would sort of free the policymakers to focus on rate setting. Make sure we have a fair rate for taxi cabs. Make sure we make our our system of owner operators work as well as it does. I think there's tweaks. I think we can still maintain fairness in the system while making sure that we have a very good regulatory structure.
That's the voice of Mike DeBonis, a reporter with the Washington Post. And also joining us on the line is David Alpert, editor-in-chief of Greater Washington. In a recent piece entitled Fix the Taxi Commission or Abolish It, Alpert writes, should the Taxi Cab Commission be subsumed into an existing agency? The Taxi Cab Commission serves two roles. It sets taxi policy such as fares and whether to limit supply with medallions, and it handles licensing and inspection for drivers. Similar to the points that Mike DeBonis has been making. Welcome, David Alpert. I'd love to hear your thoughts on someone who writes extensively on transportation issues at Greater Washington. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this conversation.
Thanks very much for having me. As I said, and as Mike was saying, there are these two issues, and I think the Taxi Commission has been failing at both. You know, but first, I definitely agree with Mike that the owner-operated taxi cab system we have has been a great thing, and I don't want to see that change. And I think that we need to make sure that taxi drivers have a good rate for the taxi rides that makes it possible to make a decent living. The question here, when we talk about the Taxi Commission, is, you know, does the structure of the commission actually accomplish these goals? I think that it's actually not helping drivers to have this structure as it is right now. And I think drivers would benefit and actually have their own concerns aired to a greater extent and have them better responded to if we had an agency responsible for a lot of these issues. When it comes to the regulating, like the hack inspectors and so forth, city agencies just can do a better job than the system that we have with the DCTC, and we all know that it has been failing while other city agencies have been doing a better job of those kinds of inspection-type regulatory roles. When it comes to policy, I think our policy should be made by our elected officials, either the council or the mayor or people who work directly for the mayor who are accountable to the mayor. When we have these boards like the ABC board and like the Historic Preservation Review board and all these other boards, what it does is it actually makes all of these decisions unaccountable to anybody. Mayor picks some people. Generally, they pick people who are campaign contributors or something like that, or just people who have a lot of time. And then they say, essentially, you go make all these policy decisions. Then, you know, we don't know what they do. The drivers or whoever's a stakeholder in that issue don't have a lot of involvement in that, in those folks that are appointed by the mayor, if it's not people from their community. And regular citizens don't have an involvement in it. So they're just going off and making policy, and if it's bad policy, there's not a lot of recourse. You can't say to your council member, you know, this is bad policy, let's do something about it so much, because, you know, it's just being made by this board over there. And, you know, you can't complain to the mayor. You can't elect a different mayor and say, do a better job of making these decisions, because it's often this unaccountable board. And so, you know, I can definitely understand that drivers would feel like, well, if drivers had a person on the board or three people or whatever, then there'd be a voice in that process. But I don't think that that's the best way to give drivers a voice in that process, because it's still going to be a broken system. It's better for these policies to be made by people that drivers can lobby and go to hearings and speak up on blogs and on radio shows and say this is the best policy and have the elected officials listen to them, because that's what elected officials will do.
David Alpert, are you at all concerned that by sticking the taxi issues into something like the District Department of Transportation, which is already, you know, pretty massive, that drivers who have been excluded from a smaller political body, let me put it in the first person, I have a concern that if having watched drivers be excluded from a smaller body, the Taxi Cab Commission, that the much larger one, like District Department of Transportation, could further keep drivers from their voices being heard.
Well, DDOT's been under a lot of pressure from the mayor and council to be doing a better job of public engagement, and so have all city agencies. They, you know, this isn't just an issue about, you know, taxi rates or taxi regulation isn't the only situation we have in the city where people's voices need to be heard and where sometimes people's voices have not been being heard. When DDOT reconstructs someone's street, the people on that street want to have some amount of involvement in that. We don't create a Q Street Reconstruction Commission, you know, and worry about how many people we have from the pavement industry and how many people we have from residents who live on the street. We say, DDOT, it's your responsibility to do a good job of having public engagement. It's your responsibility to tell people what you're thinking about doing, get input, be open about it, listen, and make a good decision. And then if we think you're doing a bad job of that decision, people will go and do go to either the mayor or to the person with oversight and say, you know what, you know, DDOT's not doing a good job, you know, let's change their budget, let's change their laws that affect them and something like that. So I like to see the same kind of thing here, where if they are in charge of the taxi policy and they're not listening to people, they'll get a lot of pressure from the public. They'll get a lot of pressure from drivers. They'll get a lot of pressure from politicians to do a better job of public engagement. When the decision just foists it off on this board, you know, then the other members of the board maybe, you know, listen to the drivers and they say, okay, we're not going to listen to you. You know, we're not going to do what you say. And then that's the end of it, you know, and there's not pressure for them to be doing a better public process.
I'm Anat Bizuayu. I want to bring you into the conversation. You're a board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. You've heard what David Alpert of Greater Washington has laid out, similar to along the lines of what Mike DeBonis, the Washington Post, has noted. What are some of your concerns with folding the Taxi Cab Commission into something like the District Department of Transportation?
Well, our number one concern is that if the Taxi Cab Commission is being eliminated and the regulating authority is given or placed under the Department of Transportation or any other larger agency, that the voice of the drivers will not be heard. We all agree with Mike and Mr. Alpert that there is a problem at the Taxi Cab Commission today. But that problem, we believe that as a driver, can be fixed. Fixing the problem is much better than just eliminating the Taxi Cab Commission altogether. Because I think the problem is not with the structure of the institution. We believe that the problem is with the people who are assigned there without having knowledge of the industry, or maybe those people assigned there as commissioners are not getting proper compensation for the time. And then because of that, they are not going to a good job there. And that makes everything look bad. So that it's a matter of fixing the commission, not eliminating the commission.
It seems to me that, do you want to jump in, Mike?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It seems to me that one of the reasons we've gotten in this position, and you know, drivers for years have been calling for the Taxi Cab Commission to follow the law and have industry reps on it, and that's been ignored. And then now we see with the arrest on June 22nd and the following after a huge amount of discussion, and yet drivers' voices, in a lot of instances it seems, are still to the side. And yet, talk a bit about the Small Business Association. It represents some 4,000 drivers, and so it seems like it should be at the table when discussing taxi cab issues.
Yeah, that's what we have been saying for years now, especially during the previous mayor, that all the authority was taken away from the commission. And because of that, it really makes our industry look bad in the eye of the public. There is a policy. It is true that there is a policy. That policy, if properly implemented, will be, I think, will govern the industry in a very better and effective way. But the problem is not being that policy is not being properly applied, because the people who are there either are not interested in doing that because of the time, or maybe they don't really understand the industry at all. I mean, I know that there is maybe a complaint, and in that enforcement issue, I mean, enforcement issue can be strengthened by maybe placing the enforcement issue back to the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department, instead of leave it with the 7 or 8, or I believe there are 16 taxi hack inspectors. So enforcement can be strengthened that way, and the policy already there, and it can be very effective, and no need to eliminate the taxi cab commission.
I just wanted to add one thing, and just to commend Hymenat and everyone for actually getting together with the Small Business Association to have one collective voice for the owner-operators, which in the past I know has been an issue, is that there just hasn't been organization. There hasn't been political organization and just people speaking with one voice. And I think that if you can keep this up, if there is a definite voice of the independent taxi cab driver, I think you'll be surprised at how much you can influence this debate in a way that it hasn't happened before. As David was saying, you can talk to your council members, you can talk to the executive bureaucracy, you can talk to the taxi cab commission, and to be organized is a great thing and a powerful thing.
David Alpert, do you want to jump in before I get Ali's thoughts?
I completely agree with what Mike just said. There are a lot of whatever ends up being done with the taxi commission. I think that obviously the real important issue is the actual taxi policy, and there are a lot of areas of policy in the city where there are well organized groups that are able to advocate for the needs of certain folks and make sure that their voices are heard, and that's very effective. I would love to have on Greater Washington, for example, I'm sure in the Post we'll be seeing, some more discussion about some of these actual policy issues. What should we do to improve the way that taxis operate and to make things better for both drivers and riders? That's really going to be the conversation we need to have going forward. And having drivers organized with spokespeople who can, effectively advocate for the issues that are facing drivers, it's going to be very powerful, and I think a lot of people are going to be listening.
That's the voice of David Alpert of Greater Washington. Mike DeBonis.
I just wanted to add one thing. There's been a lot of talk about in the context of the medallion bill that, we have these powerful lobbyists. Everyone, talks about how this is being done at the behest of Jerry Schaefer, who's bought, who's paying John Ray to introduce this bill. Well, you organize and you have a voice at the table every bit as powerful as John Ray's or, Jerry Schaefer or anyone else. That's the power of this process. And, I think what we're seeing is, okay, the people who have money and influence and power can sort of buy themselves a seat at, their position, can get at least get the discussion going about it. I think that the independent drivers are saying that, you have the same power to start a discussion and sort of change that discussion in your favor. You can pay for your own lobbyists, but you don't really even have to do that. You just have to be organized and speaking in one voice.
Ali, welcome to the conversation.
Well, thank you, Pete. And organizing we need to do. We are trying to organize the drivers. But guess who else is calling for elimination of DC Taxicab Commission? The same person who wrote the medallion bill. They want to abolish the Taxicab Commission, because without the Taxicab Commission, without the voices of drivers, a few people can dominate the agenda. A few people will be able to set policies that's going to hurt not only the drivers, but also the public. By just the medallion bill that was asking for, or is still asking for, 4,000 drivers, guess who's going to suffer? The public is going to suffer, number one, because they're not going to be able to have taxi cabs 3 o'clock in the morning to go home after they have had a few drinks. And, of course, the drivers are going to suffer. And guess who was responsible for the taxi cab commission not functioning well? Very simple. Mr. Fenty himself. He took the power away from the DC Taxi Cab Commission, assuming that he's got the unilateral authority to do whatever the heck he wants. And that should not happen. Whether he's a mayor or he's the president of the country, he's not the only person to make the policies and make laws for the rest of us to live by.
We have a David Alpert, you jumping in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that, you know, I think that's a good point. And, you know, this medallion bill, though, you know, as far as I've seen, has been met with a lot of skepticism by the public, by other elected officials I've talked to, by journalists, by bloggers. So, you know, I think this is an example of how, you know, getting the driver point of view out there, and just the fact that, you know, just because someone's bought some, you know, some access or whatever, isn't going to mean that their bill is going to pass.
We have about 9 minutes left, so I wanted to go around, beginning with Nathan Price, chair of DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, a member of the Small Business Association, and get final thoughts. Nathan, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
and
great.
I'd like to say real quickly to your guest, don't bury the DCTC, the shortcoming of the bureaucrats. They're the ones, and the fate of the DCTC is by design. You know, and I agree. When you know, in my shortcoming, I said the structure needs to be changed. The same structure that you have, the Public Service Commission, should have been at the DCTC. But the problem was, the Public Service Commission was in place before we had a city council. Therefore, it was very difficult to come along and change the structure. We had that same structure, we would be better off. Now, as far as running things under the DOT, the Department of Transportation, they have other agendas, so therefore, to me, that's a conflict of interest. And the final thing I can say is conflict of interest. Enforcement. On the issue of enforcement, everybody takes their clues from enforcement from the Taxi Cab Commission. The same way Pete, you and Jim Epstein were arrested, they took their clues from Dina Reed. Right now, the Metropolitan Police Department is taking their clues from the Taxi Cab Commission on how to stop drivers and arrest them, you know, which is contrary to the district's own law as well as the statutes in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So the thing I'm trying to say is that the problem is it is within the system, not in the framework. A one-stop system is what drivers were really rallying behind that it came, she brought it about. So the one-stop system would actually make things more efficient for everybody. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much for being on, Nathan Price. David Alpert of Greater Washington, final thoughts?
I think I got to say, you know, most of what I was going to say. I mean, you know, I think that there's a lot of agreement on where we need to go. And, you know, hopefully this debate about what to do about the taxi commission will lead to a structure where that actually those things that need to happen for the city can be accomplished.
Thanks so much for being with us. Hyman Atbezuayu, final thoughts?
Well, yeah, I agree that there are a lot of works to be done at the Taxi Cab Commission, and drivers are willing to be part of that and continue to be the part of the process to come up with some sort of solution so that to make the Taxi Cab Commission work more efficiently than now.
Ali, final thoughts?
Well, I think as Hyman said, there are a lot of problems in the Taxi Cab Commission that needs to be fixed. We need to focus on those issues and see what those problems are and fix them. But eliminating the Taxi Cab Commission is not going to solve this problem. We also need the voices of the drivers, the small business owners, to be heard in the decision that people are making in their behalf. So we need to have a representative. Required by law that we should supposed to have three people sitting in that commission. Unfortunately, that has never been the case. Maybe there has been one or two at the most in the Taxi Cab Commission, but we need to bring those three people, set them on the table, put the right person as a chair of the Taxi Commission where they are able to fix whatever the problems are and not to assume, for the mayor to assume that he's got the unilateral authority to do whatever he wants.
Thanks, Ali. Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis. And thanks for everyone for joining us. Your final thoughts?
I think that what me and David are talking about, I think what we're all talking about regarding the Taxi Cab Commission is responsiveness And in a democracy, we want our institutions to respond to the public's concerns. And that's where the taxicab commissions failed over the years. And hopefully we can change something about how this apparatus works, whether it's elimination, whether it's reform, to make it more responsive. And with the medallion bill, we saw responsiveness, you know, because that was in the city council. That is a forum where all matters of political pressure come to bear, and it gets heard and stuff happens. So we heard about this bill. There was really not a lot of defense for this. Not a lot of defense was put up, and now by all accounts, this is a dead bill. So. That is democracy in action right there. Now, how can we change the system so that happens in other parts of the taxi industry? So the problem, what I see with the taxicab commission is that you just have several different functions and they're all sort of not being handled appropriately, whether it's fair rate setting, whether it's handling of complaints, whether it's drafting of regulations, and whether it's enforcement of regulations. I think that getting all of those things to work together and to work properly is what I think that the reform, any reform effort should be focused on. So thanks again, Pete.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank all of our participants, David Alpert of Greater Washington, Mike DeBonis, reporter with the Washington Post, Nathan Price, chair of DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, and another additional two members of the Small Business Association, Haimanot Bizuayu and Ali. We're going to post the entire audio of the show tomorrow at thefightback.org, and we'll have links to Mike and David's pieces on the subject. Please spread the word about the voice of DC cab drivers and thefightback.org, and we'll tune in next week, 7 to 8:15 p.m. here on WST 11:20 a.m. And thanks to Francis for a great job engineering. You were just listening to the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WST 11:20 a.m. Tune in Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the show live, or to download and listen to past programs, visit thefightback.org.
The only souls accused of hit and run. Tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but